Are you gay?
Geeky?
Just enjoy hearing your good Judy's dish about the latest in pop culture?
Well, then you're in luck.
The boys of Flame On are here for you.
In every episode, we discuss the topics that entrance us.
Whether it's comics, TV,
movies,
drag queens,
or video games,
we've got you covered.
So, if you're ready for your gay and geeky slice of pop culture life,
then sit back and get ready to
Flame On!
If you already prepay for your energy, a smart meter means you can top up at the touch of a button. Whether you're on the sofa,
with your little cherubs,
at the shops, after the shops have closed, or when you're cozy in bed and it's raining cats and chicos.
Top up anytime, anywhere, in-store, on mobile or online. Search Get a Smart Meter. Eligibility may vary. Consumer action required.
Unlock thy hidden gate.
What's going on, everybody? It is Pat DeBeer here, and we are back. If the switchover in intro music didn't give it away, we're doing something a little special this month. But before I jump into that, let's meet the rest of the cast. We've got Brian on the West Coast.
Yo.
We've got a BJ on the East Coast.
Hi.
And in the Southeast, still the East Coast, but, you know, trying to differentiate you two. We've got Eric.
Hi.
We are, so, okay.
You little should, behind. You should be like, and from Florida.
Ew. Ew. So a little peek behind the curtain here. As y'all know, we normally do a microsode as our early month episode, and then we do a roundup, a pop culture roundup, talking about things that we saw or we read or we listened to or experienced in the month relating to pop culture. But there was something that we all were just looking forward to, because 4 years ago, we all were very excited for a certain Disney television project called WandaVision. So we decided that rather than do our traditional roundup episode this month, we would dive in and give our initial thoughts on the first two episodes of Disney Plus's new Marvel television show, Agatha All Along. The show that has gone through more name changes than probably any other show in the history of television. And whether or not that was planned, was part of their marketing scheme, whatever it was.
Actually, I think Cougar Town went through more.
But Cougar Town, well, I mean, okay, I can't speak to it. They did the name changes, or like the quote unquote names on the title card, but I also don't remember the process and the switchover from Scrubs into Cougar Town when that not spun off, but spun off. So because we were excited about WandaVision and with the Agatha All Along series coming out again, not all of the different, what was it, Coven of Chaos, Darkhold Diaries, Agatha and Bestie, I don't know, like there were like 14 different names that we got, but we decided, hey, this is dropping, we have an episode coming out, why don't we all watch the first two episodes? We should have done a watch party, but, you know, I don't like the fact that I do like, but don't like the fact that it's specifically dropping at a certain time, because I didn't realize that it didn't hit the Disney Plus until the evening, which I kind of like, because that means that nobody can be spoiling that shit at 7 a.m.
Yeah, it's not like global all-stars where I wake up and the first thing I see on my phone is who went home, and it's like, what?
So it's the titles were Agatha House of Harkness was, I think, the first one. Agatha Coven of Chaos, it was changed to that in July 22. Then September 2023, it was changed to Agatha Darkhold Diaries. And then, because they had done it so many times, Marvel made a joke on Twitter that said, Agatha the Lying Witch with Great Wardrobe.
Oh, I love that. Was my favorite.
And then they settled on Agatha All Along.
Which, honestly, even if it wasn't, even if they were through behind the scenes, like messing with from higher ups or whatever the reason, they spun it very well and put together that little video where all the title changes kept like kind of purple magicking into the different cards into Agatha All Along. Which, I mean, honestly, with having that great of a song for her to intro her in WandaVision, I think it kind of makes sense.
It
works.
It was way too good.
So the first two episodes have dropped on Disney Plus. We're recording this on a Thursday night. They dropped yesterday, September 18th, with the first two episodes of the season. We get a new episode on Disney Plus every Wednesday night, all the way through Halloween, where we get the final two episodes. So we got a double premiere and a double finale. And we decided, why not give our first impressions? Let's get it out of the way. Because, I mean, we can't wait till November to talk about Agatha All Along. Like, that, we just can't. It's just not going to happen. But maybe we'll be able to get somebody like Oral to come back to the show and talk about Agatha. You know, we'll see if we can get a special guest. We'll see. But I think this is a great conversation, and honestly, I'm excited to play the hell out of the Ballad of the Witch's Road. I want to see the Sacred Chant version is fun. The True Crime version was really cool. And I love the fact that it feels very like Taylor's version each time that they change it. I'm like, what is next? But we're gonna do this like we do any review. We're gonna chat about the things that we enjoyed. We'll talk any things that maybe were not as much fun or maybe could have been better, Brian. And then we'll do some wild conjecture and speculation about what this season may have in store. Sound good, boys? All right. That wasn't really rhetorical, but we'll continue on anyway.
Coven is with you.
I am Mother Maid and Crone all in one. Thanks. All right, Eric, let's throw it to you first. I know you tend to get the short end of the stick sometimes on the positives when we do reviews. So you get to start us off. What you got? What did you like so far from Agatha All Along?
I mean, Aubrey Plaza is just gonna Aubrey Plaza all over this, and I'm so excited. just every second she's on the screen. All of the kinds of tension that was between her and Catherine Hahn in this first episode was so good and delicious and
that strong dominant lesbian energy in
yes,
she was in her True Crime era.
She came in that Jodie Foster suit and went as the FBI agent, and then
she was Clarice Starling all of it was good.
And then in the second episode, I liked the introduction to all of the Coven witches. I thought they were all fun. Patti LuPone, just love her. And they did some interesting things with the sound in regards to teen. Especially when he was doing his, I don't know if I can call it a monologue because we couldn't hear what was being said in the car. Mm-hmm. Just the way that they did that. I mean, I think I'm sure I have it figured out in my head how that all happened, but it was just neat the way they did and pulled his voice away and just dimmed it down so we couldn't barely hear it.
I like how when she wasn't sure if it was her mm-hmm. or if it was him, and I like how she turned up the radio.
Yeah,
and she could hear the radio. She could hear the road. It was just something drowned out any inkling of him, and he can hear himself. That's the other thing. He yeah. can hear himself talking.
Yeah, and I liked that it was different from the first time when he was trying to say his own name and it just uh-huh. like laced over his mouth, that they didn't just keep doing that effect. Like different things are happening to shroud who he is. Like, I mean, the world seems to think they know who Teen is, and it probably will be. But I'll save it for conjecture. That's more of yeah. a conjecture topic.
I was going to say when it stitched over his mouth and it looked like an M for Mephisto. we bring that back from 4 years ago.
No, when you Senior Scratchy came back, that was Mephisto. I also really liked I don't know if they're gonna keep at it or if they were just kind of a throwaway thing in the second episode, but the Salem Seven, just kind of the way it was just the one figure, and then it just the effect when they split, and that was fun.
What was that villain in the Buffy musical episode? What were they called?
Hush. Oh no, you're talking about was it the Silence in the episode? Hush, not the musical.
No.
Oh, the gentleman. The gentleman. I'm sorry.
Gentleman. That's what I'm thinking. It gave me that vibe. Yeah, I like the creepy, floaty. Yeah, all that. It was really
the jerky movements. Like, mm-hmm. that was a good, nice, really. Nice reminder that you're in a horror series. Like, yeah. That was a nice little
sanitized horror, which is what I like. I don't want full out horror, but this was like, it gave me enough to be like, ooh, this is a fun Disney, but Marvel kind of take on horror and giving you that creepiness. The Salem Seven definitely was a fun watch, and seeing them kind of infiltrate the house. That was a great scene. BJ, let's toss it to you. What are some positive takeaways from these first two episodes?
So there's just some weird things that I think I really liked about it. I really liked the fact this is the first live action series that has the Marvel Television title card now. The first thing was X-Men 97, but it's the first live action show because She-Hulk I still think was just Marvel, and they made they created the Marvel Television I think right before they released X-Men 97. So this is the first live action project under Marvel TV, and I think the next live action one is Daredevil Reborn. Or Daredevil Born Again or something like that. So I really like the title card. I like how there's more comic-y. There's some really deep comic cuts hidden in the title card. I absolutely fucking love the idea that the first episode honestly took place more in Agatha's mind, and how she's not only trapped in the town as Agnes, but the spell has warped or changed somehow, and she was literally acting like a different person. So her realization that she actually like was talking to the neighbors like their characters in a crime drama was really funny and a little bit sad. Like a little bit like she's trapped deep. she was trapped so deep into that spell that even if her mind got free, she would still be stuck as Agnes. So, like, props for making me feel a little bad for her. And I love how the neighbors also still view Wanda as a villain, and they view Agnes as a victim, like they were. So they humor her and they don't call too much attention to her, which is almost like an after effect of the spell. So like there's like they bring her food so she doesn't starve or anything, because she's not even aware that she wasn't actually driving in a car. She just had built like a fake car in her living room. Chased the poor teen around the neighborhood and then threw him in the closet, thinking she had thrown him in a jail cell.
So that's what that was. So I am stupid, and I watched this with a group of people, and nobody like caught me. If they caught that, I didn't understand it. So what we're saying is all of the first episode, including the morgue, including all of that, was just in her house.
Yes.
Well, yeah, up until the point where she strips through all her different costumes, and then she's naked, and that's where she's broken out.
Okay, because like she interacts with other people, and so those were just all...
Right, because then her conversation with the neighbor is them explaining it's only the past 3 days that she's been thinking it was the...
crime drama,
and she's only been tripping it for for a couple of days. So I'm assuming that over the last 3 years, every couple of days she essentially cycles into a new television show. Like that's possibly what the hex that was around Westview is now essentially just the body of Agatha. So where the town would go through these changes of type of television show, Agatha's the only one that's going through and seeing these things. And because the town folk all know what happened to them, they've essentially like they were saying, has basically just been pitying her and playing along and making sure that she's okay and essentially doesn't get hurt or die, I guess is the best way to say it.
Yeah.
No, though that's the and I love that, because in a way the townspeople are actually helping to keep her trapped by humoring her. So I really liked that whole idea of the first episode was mostly 90% in her head until she was like naked and it actually clawed herself out of the spell. So I really, really liked that. I like, and also the crime drama that she was in is a crime drama that I think the directors directed. I can't remember the specific name, but it is almost beat for beat a copy of a specific crime drama. So I thought that was like a nice little Easter egg. I just really like that from a story standpoint, because it's a little touch of how WandaVision was. But we kind of came out of that. So I like how quickly she kind of came out of it. And then we get the nice little explanation. I'm loving every single one of the characters. I didn't expect the characters to all have the motivation to actually join her. But the fact that they're all witches on hard times, I'm very, very interested and excited to see what the road has in store for all of them, and even if they all survive, because like I'm honestly not counting on any of these people surviving except for Agatha and except for maybe the teen. So I'm very interested. I love the aesthetic of the road. I love how it's almost like a twisted Wizard of Oz. And if you notice the opening title credits of the first episode, the road is essentially the police tape. The police tape winds around the woods almost like a path. There's a lot of Wizard of Oz kind of imagery going on. I'm just honestly, I need to sit down once enough people have watched it, and I need to sit down and get one of those watch one of those internet videos of like all the things you missed in the first two episodes of Agatha All Along. because I get the feeling WandaVision was the first Marvel, like, big, like, intertwined Marvel project. Agatha All Along is a lot of people involved with WandaVision that now have a better understanding of their audience. And they know people. The thing is, they know, we know that we're going to have wild conjecture here and about. And I feel like they at least understand that better this time. So they're either going to just put red herrings everywhere to mess with people, which is completely on brand for a series on Agatha Harkness. But yeah, I'm the casting is damn near perfect. So I'm very, very, very excited to see the rest of it. There's a ton of other stuff, but I think I'll save a handful of things for everybody else.
I was going to say, can you let other people have a chance? Girl. Brian, what are some positive takeaways from the first two episodes? He's like, nothing. On to the negative.
I think that I'm interested in what they're doing based on the trailer with the different sort of eras, but I feel like they're doing like pastiches on each kind of horror thing. Like, this seems like they're playing with those ideas, which is good. I like that. The first two episodes didn't do that, and so that'll be something I'll talk about later. I did like the mayor of Easttown-y, True Detective-y, whatever that first episode was mostly supposed to be, like the, you know, the nod to WandaVision sort of. I really liked that. I actually like kind of wanted just a whole episode like that, and then sort of the act break at the end to be like the coming out, but like whatever. What else did I like? I mean, all the performances are great. Like, Patti LuPone gets to be Patti LuPone, Catherine Hahn gets to be so many different flavors of Catherine Hahn that are all amazing. Joe Locke's great. Love him. Don't know the actresses' names. I pulled up IMDb because I'm like, Deborah Jo Rupp. So That 70s Show is one of like my favorite sitcoms of that era of the, what was that, the 2000s, I guess, when that came out. Mm-hmm. But funny enough, I have not watched the sequel show on Netflix. I need to at some point, but yeah.
It's cute. It's
very
cute.
I've heard it's fun.
I like it.
But I love her. I love her. I didn't realize she was going to be as involved in the show. I think because the trailers, she's not featured a lot, but I just forgot to. And so I'm thrilled that she's there. Emma Caulfield Ford, who played Dottie, who, again, I'm a little confused about, but was the librarian. That's from Buffy. What's her name?
She was Faith.
Yeah.
Faith. Not Faith. Was Faith.
Not Faith.
No, no, no. She was, starts with a C. No.
Anya.
Yes. Yes. The demon. Anya. Demon.
Oh, the vengeance demon.
Yes. Yeah. Love her. Love her to death. And
not Faith.
I know. My Buffy. Your Buffy knowledge is fresher. And yeah. And then finally, I will just say I really did love. I mean, Aubrey Plaza can do a lot and really never does it wrong. So the fact that she just gets to play her bitchiest, amazing self. Great. Fantastic. Yeah, I think that's all I have.
Please tell me y'all watched the Hot Ones thing where she interviewed Patti LuPone.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, not yet. Holy shit.
Yeah. Their back and forth was fantastic.
Somebody asked the question on, apparently Patti LuPone said, somebody asked her about Madonna's performance in Evita, and it was like, give your honest opinion. Or you said that music artists being actors, it will be the death of cinema and performance. Would you care to elaborate on that or eat a spicy wing? And Patti LuPone, without breaking eyes from the camera, grabs one of the spiciest wings and just starts chomping down. And Aubrey Plaza just goes, yes, yes, you're sick. She's like, your mother. I'm mommy. I love you. Like, she's just cheering Patti LuPone on, being this toxic little devil on her shoulder. And she's like, I love you. I want to marry you. This is everything I could ever want out of this. So you need to watch that, because it's Patti LuPone at her Patti LuPettiest. And it's Aubrey Plaza at her absolute unhinged self. And it is amazing. It's probably one of my favorite Hot Ones interviews.
It's ridiculous, but phenomenal.
It's amazing.
Oh, Jesus. Everything that you guys have talked about, I've enjoyed. I do like Teen and the shroud of mystery that they put on to the character. The Ballad of the Witches Road. Like, honestly, Bobby and Kristen, can they stop? Can they just stop making these fucking bangers? Like, honestly, they are... If this does not get nominated for an Emmy for like best song, I don't know what to do. Like I just won't know. There will be no justice in the world. Like it's incredible, and I'm curious to see how it gets transformed throughout the entire miniseries. I'm assuming because of the fact that there are these variants so far, with, you know, the true crime version, the sacred chant version, that there will be some form of this song laced throughout the season. Deborah Jo Rupp as Sharon. I was going to say, which of the coven is your favorite and why is it Sharon?
Oh yes,
this poor woman. She's like,
are we gonna do laundry together?
is this a laundry party? Yes. When she turned around, or when they started singing, and she just kind of leans forward and goes, "Am I supposed to know the words?" And then gets all in it. That woman was like, "I'm in." This chorus is just, you know, this chorus bangs. I'm just going. I'm going to do this.
Or before they started singing, when Jen goes, "Yeah, who's going to go high?" And she goes, I don't do drugs.
Oh my God.
Which people online are saying, "Oh, that's a callback to that 70s show, cuz they were always smoking pot."
Oh. But
that may be a stretch, but yeah.
No, but I love it. That entire scene where Agatha goes and is talking to her as Mrs. Hart, and she's like, "No, dear, that's what Wanda called me." Like, just the fact that this town is so 3 years on still so traumatized. I mean, obviously, but. Because they were in there knowing what was going on, but unable to do anything about it. It's incredible. You know, Herb, the neighbor, I don't even know what his actual name is, like Dottie and her husband, you know, like they have names, but we don't know them yet because they haven't really kind of broken through that part of it. But I do love that they have incorporated so much of the cast because it is in Westview. That butch lesbian energy between Rio and Agnes in the first half, two-thirds of that first episode was phenomenal. The butch, angry lesbian exes energy that they had during the fight scene was phenomenal. All of that, just fantastic. And I'm not usually the one to bring up musical score, but Christoph Beck has done phenomenal work. And I keep trying to look it up because for some reason, I think if I'm remembering correctly, Graham Revel was Books, Bells, and Candles from The Craft. But there's other stuff that Christoph Beck has done, but I was looking real quick.
Yeah, he did some Marvel stuff too.
He's done a lot of Marvel stuff from what
Frozen. Like scoring, yep. He's a name I've seen a lot, but I don't always like go, "Oh my God, who is this? I need to go look him up." It's kind of one of those, "Oh, okay, yeah, I remember him, yeah."
So. Buffy, Bring It On, Under the Tuscan Sun, Edge of Tomorrow, Crazy Stupid Love, Pitch Perfect, Hangover, Frozen. From a Marvel side, he's done. Oh God, where was it? Well, he's done the Muppets, Muppets Most Wanted, Frozen, Frozen 2, Ant-Man, Ant-Man and the Wasp, Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania. We try not to remember that one too much. WandaVision, Hawkeye, Free Guy, you know, like he's done so much fantastic work, but I think it just shines very well in this kind of setting that what I know him for very much falls into this like kind of horror, creepy, Halloween-y vibe. And it just, I'm digging it so far. Overall, I think it's been a great run. I am curious to see how it goes. I would also like them to not have 5+ minutes of credits, because then I think that there's either more of the show or a post-credit scene. And I'm sitting there going, is there more? Is there more? And then the screen comes up for, you know, either the next episode or like Captain Marvel, you know, and I'm like, damn you. But no, I've been very pleased with it. Catherine Hahn is just killing it. And I mean, we knew she would, but I'm excited to see where this adventure goes. Which is the potions witch? Do you remember her name?
Jen, and the last name starts with K. Is it Carp?
Kale.
Jen Kale. Okay. And it's played by Sashir.
Okay. Samada. Love her. Aside from Sharon, my other favorite member of the coven. So I'm excited to see where all of this goes and how this adventure plays out. So
I want to try her candles. I've never had a candle you can, like, you know, taste.
Yeah, but so wasn't that one of the things that she was getting sued over?
Yeah, well, still.
Yeah,
well,
like
300 people? Like 300,000 people? I don't know. Like, maybe you should not. We have enough procedures going on. We don't need to have you eating candles and having more.
I'm not going
to
eat it. I just want to lick it. Just let me lick it. Come on.
I'm just gonna leave that one there. Y'all can clip that for whatever sound you need it to be.
Oh, you need to make that
next week.
Yeah, that needs to be on the soundboard.
Anywho, before we move on, we just want to thank you guys for listening to Flame On. We do this because you guys listen and you give us feedback. We love hearing from you. We love chatting with you. We love running into you when we go out to events or we just happen to be at things. And it's like, wait a minute, you listen to Flame On. This is great. So we appreciate that. Check us out online, flameonshow.com. And if you wouldn't mind, leave us a rating and a review on your favorite podcast app. It always helps to get the word out and spread the gospel of Flame On to more listeners, so that way we can keep on doing this and bringing you more gay and geeky pop culture content to your podcast app. That's flameonshow.com. All right.
Here's Smiling Class for hands-free Skechers slip-ins.
Tired of struggling to put on your shoes? Then go hands-free with Skechers slip-ins. You just step in and they're on without bending down or touching your shoes. It's like they have an invisible built-in shoehorn so your foot slides into place. Then the exclusive heel pillow keeps your foot comfy and secure.
Find hands-free Skechers slip-ins for men and women everywhere.
If you already prepay for your energy, a smart meter means you can top up at the touch of a button. Whether you're on the sofa...
with your little cherubs.
At the shops. After the shops have closed. Or when you're cozy in bed and it's raining cats and chicos.
Top up anytime, anywhere. In store, on mobile or online. Search Get a Smart Meter. Eligibility may vary. Consumer action required.
Brian, we're just going to go to you.
I guess.
Now's your time to shine. I don't know. If other people have stuff to add on, we definitely can do that. But now is the time. This is the moment.
Oh, gosh.
Where Brian goes plunking into his... into his den of what could have been better. And let's talk about the things that maybe didn't hit so well in the first two episodes of Agatha All Along. Take it away.
Now, admittedly, I will say I was maybe under some medication when I watched this, but that is not the reason. I was fine. Yeah, I was very of sound mind. and questionable body, but I was definitely I was able to appreciate what I saw. Here's my thing. I think the first episode, I already kind of alluded to it. I would have gone the whole episode and then at the end do the reveal into the thing. I wouldn't have done the first episode the way they did it. I think by doing it as a WandaVision sort of carryover and then sort of mid episode, or it was like mid to set third act. I don't know. It was sort of a weird later thing. And then they did the reveal. I just don't like it. I don't like the pacing. It felt slow at first, but I'm okay if that's a thing they're doing. But then they get to that and they start to move. I was like, I don't know. Like and it was confusing. That's the other thing. Storytelling wise, I was obviously confused about a few things that was going on. And I think anytime with a show that has like magic, you have to almost go above and beyond. This is true in comics too. You have to go above and beyond to really make it make sense, because it kind of can be whatever you want it to be. And I don't think it made sense entirely. There were a lot of things that I was like, wait a minute, she's dead, but, and then this thing, and then the Scarlet Witch. But so like the deal with her, the book she checked out. Okay, so the Scarlet Witches was on there. Okay, that they're a Wanda, whatever. But then the name before was her name. Like,
can I stop you real quick just on that?
Sure. Yes.
Was it Wanda or was it Wondagore?
Well, the book was called something, and the author's name was Darkhold.
Darkhold. It's spelled out Darkhold. But was the name Wanda, or was it was an anagram of Wondagore?
The author's name was an anagram of Wondagore. I called that. Okay. Yes. Yeah. That's the authors of the book.
I just wanted to make sure.
The checkout sheet, library card, no, whatever that is.
Yeah.
It's been so long, I can't even tell you what it is. the most recent checkout was Wanda.
Yes.
The one above that was
Agatha.
It makes sense. It makes sense because, okay, it's the Wondagore. It's the Dark Home. It's from Wondagore. I understand it. It all kind of fits. But in the moment, in the storytelling of it, it just didn't quite like make sense. And it was like a nice reveal of like, oh, okay, yeah, that helps her identify who she is. It confused me.
Yeah, it is one of those things. It took me a couple. Well, I won't say I fully watched it. I watched some reactions on YouTube to the first episode, so I've seen bits and pieces more. So the whole library thing itself, like, okay, yes, she had it before Wanda, so that's why her name appeared on the slip before. And then I didn't realize that the reason that that stack of books in the library was burnt was because those were all the other versions of the Darkhold that Wanda destroyed in multiverse.
She
of
destroyed,
madness.
She destroyed
there are no more
version.
Copies of the Darkhold anywhere.
Yeah.
So I think what I would then say, and all of that's, yeah, that makes sense. I understand the lore a little bit, but I understand the lore a little bit. This show should stand on its own to some extent. You shouldn't have to watch, like, not even watch WandaVision, because I think a lot of people watch WandaVision and they didn't know any of that other stuff, because that's something almost that was more related to the Source Supreme. And again, I know Marvel Universe shared continuity. You should blah, blah, blah. I get all that. But just from this is that first episode, you're trying to get the audience going along, understanding what's going on. It was confusing. So that's one note. Second note, the second episode, I feel like was rushed. Because I know you got to get on the road, because that's the story is more about the road. But like, I almost felt like we spent a lot more time with the teen and then Patty LuPone's character. But then the rest of it was like, wait, we're just zip, 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 zip. And I just needed a little bit more to really understand and see what it is and kind of like grow into these characters. Again, knowing they're probably cannon fodder to some extent. But like, so the first episode was slow, but in a way I could get into if it was like the whole thing. The second episode was just too rushed and all over the place. The other thing I will say, and I love Catherine Hahn and I love her doing her shtick, but there's a lot of moments in the show that I feel like are almost just for her to do her shtick and to do these random wacky things. And the Harkness, the Agatha Harkness we met in WandaVision, the only one that the audience would know if they watch WandaVision, isn't as like zany as this. Like Catherine Hahn's new Agatha Harkness is zany and fun and entertaining, and I like it, but it almost just feels like it's like this other thing altogether. And it's like, it's just weird tonally. Like, I think from here, I will appreciate what they're going to do a lot more because now we're really in it. And I still enjoyed it overall, but I just think from a show that's by the creator of WandaVision, was there Jack Schaefer. I thought WandaVision was such a joy and such a great, experience and just so unique. And from there to here, it's just, I don't know. I don't think it's as strong. Again, the performances are all very good. And I'm interested in the mystery of the teen. And obviously I like the Agatha character in many ways. I don't know. I think I was just disappointed in the messiness. And I don't know, backstory-wise, if there was a lot of studio interference. It sounds like maybe with some things they might have gotten in and started to have a little bit more of... I mean, that's a Marvel thing, right? Any Marvel TV show, movie, like that happens. But it almost felt like maybe there was more of that here going on, or they couldn't quite figure out what the show was going to be about, and that there's vestiges of that throughout. And you see this sometimes when you're watching a show, if you know the backstory of like, oh yeah, the production changed directors, they changed, had a script rewrite, they had like six people writing the script, whatever. You can see almost sometimes like the shifts among the scenes or the dialogue, whatever, the motivations. And I feel like that was evident in this. So, I mean, again, great so far. I'm not saying it's bad. I would watch it. I'm going to keep watching it. But those are my little notes.
So your feelings are valid, but let me tell you why you're wrong.
I hear your concerns. I do not share those concerns.
I'm a picky bitch. Trust me. I understand.
We know.
Well, and I'm on the opposite side of this usually, because I'm defending Rings of Power to people who are like utter Tolkien nerds and like hate me for even defending it. So like, I am 1000% okay with like knowing that I am in the vast minority, and just from like watching reactions online, I know it's fine, it's okay. That's why I'm here. I actually was thinking like, should I even be on this show, because I'm not feeling great, but I'm also like, I'm kind of a bitch about this show right now, and I don't want to be. I really want to like the show, but it's my honest reaction.
Old man yells at cloud.
Get off my sky.
Old man yells at Agatha shaped cloud.
The bell should not change pitch. They did a key change. That bell should not change pitch. I disagree fundamentally with that.
I was waiting for the music. Waiting for the music nerd to come out.
That's the nitpick. That's the dumb fanboy in me, but I did notice it and I was coming.
You didn't see in the cutaway when she put down the one size bell and picked up a different size bell.
You see, that would have given it. That would have done it for me if she had had the handbells on her chest.
She had multiple bells. Oh. Listen to this, man.
She had a whole table lined up with all the different size bells. So it was just out of frame. That's all it was.
Reframing would have made Brian just that much happier.
That's true.
So I agree with you. I agree with you on some of the storytelling beats. The problem is that, what are we now? 15 years into the MCU, we've gotten so far removed from like any real full standalone projects. And when this is a sequel of sorts, spinoff sequel, having all those ties, the problem is you're 4 years removed from the original series, and you're what, 2 years removed from the more recent material? Was it Multiverse of Madness was about two years ago now, right?
Yeah.
Which, and how does Agatha know, like, how did the events of that bleed into her hex for her to have all of the, like, the Wundagore Mountain crushing Wanda to be in there? So I get it. I can see where you're coming from with a lot of those points. Maybe it's because I'm just, like, I'm excited and I want to give it I suspend my... I don't even want to say disbelief, but like my critique of it, because I'm like, okay, I remember most of these beats and what happened. So I'm just going to kind of roll with it. But I do get that. I can definitely see where those things are missing. What I will say, and this is conjecture and speculation from the internet, which we know how reliable the internet is, 100%.
Believe everything on the internet.
Everything. If it's on the internet, it must be true. But the biggest thing, I didn't hear a lot of director things or studio reshoots. What I did hear was that Kang was involved and tied to the creation of the Darkhold in this series. Mm-hmm. And with Jonathan Majors being removed from the MCU as Kang and the shift away from Kang-centric storytelling, editing probably was done, which is going to make some of this feel choppy. So you are like, I don't discredit what you're saying or seeing, and that could be a part of it. That could be why some of it feels slow and then rushed, because you're trying to avoid these extra Easter eggs or these things that you're dropping along the way to point to Kang being a part of the story. We'll see what it actually, you know, what it amounts to, but I'm hoping that it can quell some of your resistance to how it's been put together. We'll see how it is though. But I can see what you mean, and I do wish the only thing that I will kind of refute a little bit from my perspective is that first episode being partial, television as a continuation, it kind of made sense to me to be partially in a television mindscape and then her to pull out of it. But I do, like you, wish it was a little bit longer. Maybe not the entire episode, or maybe, I don't know. Like, I don't know what would have been a perfect length, but I do wish that was done a little bit differently.
Yeah, so. I think like if they had maybe just the veneer of it at the beginning and then you immediately shift gears, I think that would have been stronger. But it's because it stretched into like past the second act, almost into the third act, where I'm like, okay, I don't know. This is a pacing thing, and it's all based on our own media diets and narrative structures that everybody uses over and over again. So it's one of those where you don't have to stick to the three act structure. You don't have to do the act break here and all that. But when you don't, sometimes that makes things not feel quite paced correctly. You know, I just watched Bo is Afraid, the movie with Joaquin Phoenix from Ari Aster. And oh my God, there's so much in there where you're just like, it doesn't feel like, there's so many reasons that movie is whack, but like, it's the same kind of thing. It doesn't follow the same structure. It's a 3-hour movie, and it doesn't follow the structure that we're used to in movies. And so anytime that happens, unless it's really good and for a really good reason, it stands out. You know what I mean? So I just think that's something I noticed. But again, most people probably are going to be like, it's Agatha. It's great. I love it. It's queer. And I 1000% agree with all of that.
The only thing that I will, and the only other piece to that is, to your point of it not feeling like the same Agatha from WandaVision, when she thinks that the sacred chant version of the Witch's Road doesn't work, she shows that WandaVision Agatha, and that bitchy, cunty, like, just blast me, I want your power. Like, that was,
yeah,
she's hiding it. She's mm-hmm. suppressing it so much because she does not have power. And she's like, I'm going to do what I need to get back my power. So I'm excited to see it. And yeah. All right. So before we sign off from this initial, this is a fun little 2-episode review. We haven't even gotten the rest of this show yet. But before we sign off from this episode, it wouldn't be a Flame On review episode if we didn't do wild speculation and conjecture about what's to come, what's down the Witch's Road, and what all this is. So we'll go back the other way. Brian, any big speculative things that you have for Agatha All Along's remaining episodes?
I don't want to take the obvious one, so I'll just say, Agatha gets her powers back. I mean, I think that's fairly safe assumption. But yeah, I don't have a whole lot else I can do.
Speculation. Wow.
Yeah, I know.
You're going out on a limb here. I love it. BJ, what about you? What you got?
All right, so I'm got to put on my crazy person hat and like get my big board out. Here's the thing. The whole thing with quote unquote Wanda's body. That wasn't Wanda's body. That was effectively the Darkhold dying. That's why the toe tag was a book tag. It was effectively there were two names on there. There's seven other spots on who previously owned the Darkhold. Salem 7. So I'm guessing the Salem 7 are the previous seven owners of the Darkhold. And they're kind of pissed that Wanda, because of what Agatha did, Wanda destroyed all of it. So now their powers are also in jeopardy because of what Agatha tried to do. That being said, I think it's going to boil down to Agatha potentially recreating the Darkhold. And the teen, I think it's a bait and switch. I think the teen is Nicholas Scratch.
You stole Agatha's mine. Son. Curses.
is Nicholas Scratch, possibly not Nicholas Scratch, aka potentially C'thon, trying to get his foothold back in reality. Or Mephisto trying to get his foot into, trying to take C'thon's place. So I think in the end, I think it's going to boil down to Agatha having to make more of a morally, not a morally gray choice, but possibly a heroic choice, which is not going to sit right with her because she just wants her shit back.
She has to sacrifice her kid a second time?
Possibly. Possibly that's how she got the Darkhold the first time, is she sacrificed her son. So, and maybe that's either him reincarnated, or maybe that's him like getting a chance from Mephisto to come back and get her power and jet off. And change his name to Billy Maximoff. So who knows? But I don't think it's Billy. I really do think he's Nicholas Scratch. And he's doing a double play on her. I think she thinks he's just a dumb, stupid teenager, just like all the other witches think he's a dumb, stupid teenager. And it's the perfect camouflage. And Mrs. Hart is definitely going to fucking die. she dead. She definitely is going to be the first one to die on the witch's road. And that's
how Sharon dies. Sharon needs to go back home.
She gonna end up in the same place. She gonna end up in the same place Madison ended up but got out of.
So why and two ends, but not where you think. Eric, what about you? What you got?
Let's see here. Well, the whole not Billy, but Nicholas was going to be my big one. let's see here. I don't think we're actually going to go back to Westview at all. I think we're going to say that we've said a goodbye to it, and the Witch's Road isn't going to lead back to Westview. There may be a part where, like, Agatha has a trial that looks like it's in Westview, just because that's where she was imprisoned by Wanda for a period of time. But I think she's broken out of that, and we're moving past that. Let's see here. I do think that Sharon, aka Mrs. Hart, is not long for this world. Which is why she was not featured very much in the trailers. because they don't have any footage of her to use in the trailers.
Sharon!
And somebody has to die, because when Aubrey Plaza comes back and she talks about, man, there's a lot of bodies piling up. Yeah. And that's about it.
I have nothing aside from I read the Nicholas Scratch thing on Gay Comic Geek, Paul's Facebook page comments earlier today, and was like, I noticed the Nicholas Scratch stuff in Agnes's house when she went to go investigate the noise and found Teen in there. So I did notice that. I'm not big, like, I'm not really kind of read up on a lot of that lore, but from watching some of Sabrina, Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, I at least know Nicholas Scratch from that. So I was like, oh, okay. Like, gave me a little bit of context in some way, shape, or form. I'll say my wild conjecture is that they're going to actually follow through with Billy and oh God, what's his
Wicked?
I was gonna say words that'll get me kicked out of social
Tommy.
Graces.
Wait, Tommy?
Tommy, that's it. I was like, yeah. His cigarette brother. Just use emojis for this. I use that cigarette emoji way too much in work chats with certain people. Because I'm like, it's the only way that I can say these things without having HR call. I did love, because is Billy with, which one's with Prodigy?
Tommy.
Speed.
Tommy is.
Tommy and Prodigy are
okay,
together.
Yeah, Speed is. That's right. Because I was like, who does the boyfriend look like? Does the boyfriend give us any clue into who, like, because obviously he's a homosexual. But like, does it kind of give any ties to the comic book pairings? But I don't know what Hulkling, because is Wiccan is with Hulkling, right?
Yeah, Wiccan, yeah. And Hulkling. Hulkling's Skrull. No, Kree. Skrull.
He's a hybrid. He's a Kree Skrull hybrid.
That's it.
And the king of the Kree Skrull Empire now.
Yeah, I don't think they're doing any of that. I think you're probably right. It's probably not. It's probably Scratch.
Listen, this is my wild conjecture time, Brian. Let me wild conjecture and speculate. They're going to go through and say that they were demon pieces that have been put into the world, and Wanda managed to snag some of them and make her children, and that's how they're going to bring the children back.
Wait, I know who it is. The kid's Mephisto.
Exactly.
Confirmed.
Exactly. Oh my God.
Mephisto confirmed. That is my wild conjecture.
Can we go back and cut in when we all thought everything was Mephisto last time? Can we just go back and...
They're going to be doing that on purpose this time. And I'm waiting for them with a Marvel property to make it true. Like, I'm waiting for there to be, like, something in Daredevil. Or, hell, I'm actually waiting for it with Ironheart, because the Hood is in that. And it's the kid with the demonic hoodie that he finds. And part of me is just wanting him to, like, Mephisto to, like, take him. Like, I'm 90%. Mephisto is going to show up in a Marvel property. Could be 20 years from now. And it's going to be him being like, everybody thought that was me. He's
like, and he's going to be played by Robert Downey Jr.
Taking work from demon actors now. Jesus. I mean, well, maybe that is really, that is Robert. I don't know. No. But I do appreciate that you're still holding out hope for Ironheart to make it to our television screens. I know it eventually will, but it's that eventually that makes me a little sad. We'll get there one day. One day. One day. But no, it's been fantastic talking these first two episodes with you guys. We'll see what happens in the next one. We have 7 more episodes. It's a 9 total. It'll be interesting to see how this all plays out. We will reconvene this coven after the finale and chat a little bit more about it once we get to see the whole picture and where the story leads. We'll see if Mephisto is confirmed. I'm going to go find the new Rockstars videos so I can do like BJ mentioned earlier and see all the things that I missed, because I did not pay enough attention to the credits or like the title card. Was there a title card in the second episode? I don't even remember there being one.
So. No.
Yeah. Okay.
I was just in the episode, but there wasn't like a full title card sequence.
Not like the true crime title card in the first episode. Okay, cool. I thought there was one point I actually did fall asleep for like 10 minutes and then had to go back and rewatch that part of the episode. But I was like, I'm pretty sure I was awake during the beginning of the episode. But we were excited to see when they do say that Billy and Tommy were shards of demon soul and say I was right. And we can all laugh at Brian for making fun of me. But until then, we will see you guys. Check us out online, flameonshow.com. Leave us a rating and a review in your favorite podcast app. And gents, it was great chatting Agatha all along with you. And we'll see you next time. Bye, bitches.
Bye.
Okay, which is clearer? One or two?
Two.
Three or four?
Four.
Diabetes or high blood pressure?
Huh? Every eye tells a story, including giving us a clearer picture of your overall health. At Boots Opticians, our eye tests and advanced OCT eye scans can help spot over 10 health conditions, helping to open your eyes to a healthier future. Book an eye test today. Boots Opticians. See what's possible.